This is the only game in which it is sometimes better to be wrong than right. It's called Right or Wrong. And right here is the man who's seldom wrong, Clement Freud.
Thank you very much. In front of me, I have two teams, the women, Barbara Kelly and Andre Melly, who are all set to do battle against the men, John Pertwee and John Cleese. I'm going to ask the women a question. If they give the right answer, they'll try to make the men think it's the wrong one. If they give the wrong answer, they'll try to make the men think it's the right one. Only if one team fools the other team does that team score. Now, here is the first question. I'm going to play you a tape, and I would like, for the women starting, for you to identify it.
The opening music, if you like to call it that, of that, what's that way out composer's name? You know, the
almost anyone you can think of today.
Schoenberg?
No, the one who, you know, you make them up. You make his symphonies up as you go along a bit, that one. You know what I mean?
Beethoven?
Che Guevara?
Look, I'm the chairman. I'm impartial.
You don't know. Oh,
well, I do.
Sorry, I saw him on the telly and I can't remember his name.
It wasn't Beethoven.
It's the opening of a modern music symphony, anyway, let's say that. You know, I mean.
I think you've been very explicit. Is that right or wrong?
Wrong.
Wrong, quite wrong.
That's nobody wrong. Gets 5 points because it was wrong and you said it was wrong.
It is, in fact, two stoats, Cumberland wrestling in a biscuit box. In slow motion.
What kind of biscuit box, please?
Little one.
No.
Cumberland biscuits.
He is.
No?
It's wrong.
For 10 points?
Wrong.
Yes.
Wrong. That's quite
wrong.
Right. He was quite wrong. Do you want to hear it again, or are you quite happy about it?
No, because I know what it is, Glenn. It's a woman getting her car out of the garage, having forgotten to put antifreeze in. Because it's happened.
No.
The 15 points.
No tearing
15 points.
Rending, no.
It's quite
it's
right.
Not.
It you was know. No, and nobody gets the 15 points.
It's a very eerie noise, as you heard. And it was recorded. It's a recording. Thank you very much, indeed. It's a recording that was made by an Urk. Not a Burke, an Urk. In a squash court. Hence all that echoing you heard. A lot of noise of echoing. And it was done in the dead of night. Nobody else was about. And it was a ghost in a squash court.
Sort of like the same as we got here.
No.
For 20 points.
No. Very wrong.
That's 20 points to the men. Because it was a ghost or ghost recorded in August 1970 in a squash court at a disused IAF aerodrome.
Chairman.
What happened was that a man in the film unit thought he saw an IAF officer in a deserted squash court, and other odd happenings led the unit to leave tape recorders running on batteries at night by itself.
Is it possible to hear it again, Alan?
It is absolutely possible to hear it again, unless the ghost has been at it.
It is irked.
There, you see, it's obviously a ghost in a squash court.
I think I should explain to new listeners that some of these answers have already been given to one or
one.
Other team.
That's pure ghost.
And one has a suspicion that that answer was actually given to
not
you.
At all. I knew I could tell it was a ghost.
Very irksome.
Right, we come to the next question. What is a soldier's wind?
Why is he looking at us when he says
because
that?
Because it's up to you to answer it.
A soldier's wind. It's a kind of rope that they use for tying up their pack things on their backs.
A rope used for tying a pack onto a back.
No,
how does that grab you? The 5 points.
No.
You're quite right. No. What is a soldier's wind?
When a soldier has, as it were, the carts on the left side, the tempertonies on the right side, right? He murks the glupozes and overclocks the mergatures with a soldier's wind.
Thank you.
For 10 points.
Professor Stanley Unwin at 8.
No
is right. No points. For 15 points.
It is...
A soldier's wind.
Soldier's wind is, in fact, when, for extra duty or something, they are given extra rations. As a soldier's, it's known as wind.
Soldier's windfall.
No, I think it's a lot of wind.
No.
15
wrong.
Points. No. Not awarded.
I give up. I can't.
It's now 20 points.
I give up.
Well, remarkably, interesting this is, because the soldier's wind has got very little to do with the soldier. It's a misnomer. It's about wind, not of the flatulent kind, but of the sailor's type of wind, in fact. Isn't it?
Yes, right.
And it's a wind.
It's not a soldier's wind, whatever. No, but it is a soldier's wind.
It's called a soldier's wind, but it's in fact a sailor's wind.
You haven't finished yet.
What? No.
You've not finished, have you?
Hmm?
We haven't finished.
Have you finished?
Oh, if you like, no. It's a sailor's wind that blows sideways.
When John Cleese says, I give up, then yes. John Pertwee gives the right answer, but that couldn't be right, could it?
Yes.
No. I appreciate that. Kind of a wind blowing sideways.
You can with John Pertwee. Any old way you like. Yes or no?
Well, could you come to your unanimous decision?
I mean, no, Miss Mellie says no.
I'll take the blame. No.
No, he doesn't.
20 points to the men. A soldier's wind is actually a wind that is a returning wind. And if you sail, it's got to come sideways to make the boat go.
Don't hit me. Don't hit me.
The score is 40 to the boys or men and 20 to the girls or women. Next question. Samuel Pierpont Langley did something special in 1880, which a lot of people still think was very clever. What was it?
He was the first man, as far as I remember, who managed to commit suicide by leaping on himself from a great height.
Obviously using a soldier's wind.
No.
You're quite right.
He invented the glue that goes on the back of stamps. Before that, they used a seal.
A live seal?
Bark, bark, seal.
How do you feel about that?
Pretty favourable,
though. Very favourable. We think it's exactly what he invented.
That's 10 points to the women. And as everybody in the audience will know, Samuel Pierpont Langley invented the bolometer.
You were right.
Which is a very sensitive resistance thermometer used in the study of feeble thermal variations and, of course, infrared spectra.
Of course. Why didn't we think of
that? Yes. How rock.
Was that the rock?
I think we'll go back to the safety of a tape. I'm going to play you another tape, and I want you to identify the noise. Barbara and Andre, would you like to?
No.
Of a
mini anti-ballistic ballistic missile.
5 points. Do you think that's...
No.
That's quite right. No points.
I thought it was like a VC-10 taking off from a frying pan.
Can we all hear that?
Go ahead, Mr. Caron.
A VC-10 taking off from a very large frying pan. A small VC-10 taking off from an average size.
VC-8.
A VC-1.5.
Shall we say some sort of plane taking off from some sort of kitchen utensil? That's left it as wide open as I possibly can. Would you like to commit yourselves to this?
We're not that wide. We think, no, after a lot of thought, no.
You're quite right.
We think so.
What do we come up to? 20 points.
Could we hear it again? Because we can't hear if it's the sound that we were expecting.
Yes. Do we hear it again?
It's a torpedo going through the water.
I can't hear the water, can you?
No, I hear no water, no.
No.
So?
I can hear the fat. So the answer's no.
20 points not awarded. Now for 25 points, do you want to try?
Yes. I would think that it was a gentleman holding a round object with three holes in it and throwing it down a wooden alley.
With a bowling alley. Frying pan in one hand.
With, yes. The VC-10 in the other. A bowling alley. Something bowling a ball along a bowling alley.
He's a rotten bowler.
25 points.
No, we said. That's not right.
I'm going to award the 25 points to the men because, in fact, it was a curling stone sliding over ice, which I think is so similar.
No, sorry. Sorry, not similar.
Well, not similar. Hold on one moment. Stop. I'm perfectly willing to be guided by the audience. Let's listen to the noise once more.
I think that was good enough.
Now, it was, in fact, a curling stone sliding over ice. John Pertwee said it was a bowl being bowled down a bowling alley. Would anyone who thinks that is a sufficiently good answer please cheer, and anyone who thinks it was a bad answer boo, and will you do so now?
We won.
No points awarded.
I think we're going to take high dudgeon.
Yeah. Every week on this program we have a guest celebrity who makes a number of statements which have to be identified by either team. And today's guest celebrity is Teddy Beverley. Teddy, A, you look lovely, as you've asked me to say.
And you look lovely too, you've asked me to say.
Thank you very much. You have got three statements, is that right?
Yes.
Whom would you like to start guessing the solution to your statements?
Ladies first.
The ladies first.
Yes. My first question I want to ask them, what were we three sisters doing undressing in Piccadilly Circus?
Having a good time.
For 5 points, having a good time.
Well, you can't deny that. A sort of provisional yes, but it's not the proper answer.
You get a provisional no points.
Well, the obvious boring thing is it's a publicity stunt.
For 10 points, a publicity stunt.
Well, provisional, well, no, provisional. It should be it. I don't think that's good enough.
Another non-committal 10 points not awarded.
Yes,
can we have people committing themselves now? It would be lovely.
They were raising money.
Just be brave and come out with it.
They were raising money for an honourable cause.
Or even a dishonourable
By a
cause.
Dishonourable gesture.
Is that right or wrong?
Wrong.
It's right.
Ah.
Oh. So nobody gets 15 points and we go up to 20 points.
You were filming, and the caravan that was bringing all your beautiful clothes broke down on the Great West Road, and it couldn't get to you, and so they brought them up by hand. You had nowhere to change, and you were in a great hurry, and so you had to change in the middle of Piccadilly Circus.
Is that right or wrong?
We say again provisionally right, because I think John's on to something.
I think all that great Westeros load of rubbish, yes, but they were filming.
I don't think... I would say that they weren't filming, that they were changing, going from cabaret to cabaret.
Well, I'll go by you this time. I've been wrong twice.
No.
My friend says they're wrong.
They were right, weren't they?
Almost right.
Oh.
Right enough.
Don't you put it to the audience again.
To the audience.
I bet it was close.
The men get 25 points because, in fact...
We were changing clothes between theatres, yes.
Yeah, I see.
In a taxi, between theatres.
The men are going to get the next question.
Why did my sisters and I frequently sit around a dripping tap in the kitchen?
Well, obviously, because the tap was dripping away, and it was dripping rhythmically, and so you used it to assess the time, or the beat, as I believe the term is, of the various musical items which you were at that point rehearsing.
Is that right or wrong?
Wrong.
That's 5 points to the men. I'm led to believe that this happened at a time before the Beverly Sisters could afford a metronome.
Didn't know what a metronome was.
And had a friend who was a plumber. And the third question...
And my last question, yes. Why did I give my warm bra to a strange man?
Excuse me?
Warm or
worn? Did you say warm? It's warm or worn?
Warm.
A warm. A warmer bra.
Because you were appearing at an auction, again, in a good cause, because you do it, I know, all the time, sisters, and you were auctioning, and it was an auction.
Right or wrong?
Well, that's a very good guess, I think.
Good answer, I guess.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's 5 points, the women, who successfully fooled the men, because it had nothing to do with the auction.
And the real answer, during our stage act, my bra came unfastened, and I rushed off the stage, let it slip down, gave it to the nearest stagehand, this astonished man, and rushed on again to continue the act.
Did it fit him?
He'll be here next week as the guest celebrity. Recently released from jail. But, Katie, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
The score now is 70 to the boys, 35 to the girls. I'm going to play you another tape, and I want you once more to identify the noise.
What did it sound to you, John?
A vague booming noise. An explosion is, I'm sure, what it isn't. So it's somebody hitting something metal with a wooden leg on Good Friday. Well, sometime over the Easter period.
2:10.
No.
He's right. No points.
Because it is explosive. It's an underwater explosion, that an American one.
No,
it's not that.
10 points not awarded. For 15 points. Would you like to hear it once more?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Yes.
The Latin term for this is admiris porbolaris, which in common country parlance is known as thunder. It's, in fact, a clap of thunder.
A thunderclap. Points.
No.
It's
no.
Quite right. It was not a thunderclap. 15 points are not awarded. And for 20 points, would you like to give a definition?
Yes. It is, in fact, one of those famous BBC recordings, of which there are 750,000, of silkworms gnawing.
Not an exploding
one silkworm. Of the 3/4 million recordings.
She's
of
obviously
gnawing silkworm.
Silkworm had obviously eaten an enormous amount and gone up. A massive explosion. No, I'm afraid I don't subscribe to that.
You no, don't. No,
right.
That's very
no.
poor.
35 points.
This is a gentleman holding a round ball of wood with three holes in it. And he puts his fingers in these holes and he rolls it along
the ice.
The ice. A bowling alley, and it's a ball running along a bowling alley.
Well,
35 points.
Could be, could be. No, I didn't think so.
You are 35 points behind. You say no.
No, we do say no, 35 points behind.
You are still 35 points behind, because it's quite right. If you successfully fool the men, you're only 5 points behind.
Right. Well, I think we better successfully fool them and say it's a volcano, obviously. It's a volcano in South Pacific. One of those. As opposed to the
I'll toss you.
All right.
Excuse us, would you? Robin, I'll go here. Heads or tails?
Heads.
It's a foreign corn, it hasn't got a head. Okay. Heads or tails? Heads. Tails.
Tails.
I think they're right.
All right.
You're absolutely right, they are right. We now come to the last, I think, question, unless you are very quick. The women to answer, what are or were the Hawkubites?
They were the sort of skinheads who molested people in the streets in the reign of James II.
Frightfully good.
Terribly good, no.
I mean, if it isn't, I think they should be called Hawkubites.
Hawkubites?
Hawkubites.
Hawk?
Yes.
How do you spell it?
H-A-W-C-U-B-I-T-E-S.
We said no.
You're right. They were not.
They were not.
Then should we tell them what Hawkubites are?
Will you?
Yes.
Right.
Hawkubites are gentlemen... well, it's a thing that a gentleman gets on his hands from holding not a ball with three holes. But they hold hawks, and if they don't wear a leather
fight
thing over their glove, they get a thing called a hawk bite. And a hawk bite is something that you wear over. Oh, I don't know what I'm talking about.
10 points. Is that right or wrong?
That's wrong.
That's wrong.
It's wrong. For 15 points, would you like to?
Yes, it is in fact a bunch of skinheads who marauded the streets in the reign of George III.
That's 1760, 1820.
I get the picture.
Yes.
I get the picture.
They're building this up, aren't they?
Yes, we're going to get skinheads on the third one, aren't we? Yes. No, not
no,
George
right.
the Third. Not definitely not George the Third. They were, in fact, followers of Mr. Hawkube.
This is for 20 points.
This is for 20 points. They were, in fact, who was a precursor. He was a ventriloquist. An itinerant ventriloquist in the reign of George the First. And they went along and supported the dummy, as it were, in the various cross-talk routines which took place with Mr. Hawkube.
Now on 1714 to 1727.
Very good.
How do you say?
No, because they were skinheads.
You're right, no, so 20 points are not awarded for 25 points.
In the reign of Charles the First.
For 25 points, skinheads in the reign of Charles I.
Well, we know that.
Well, how much longer have we got to do this program?
Shall we spin
because
it
we're
going
to get up to the right one soon, aren't we?
We're bound to, sir.
Yeah.
Are they spinning us
we're now at the beginning
of
the 17th century, 1603.
How many points do they get this time?
30.
30. How many are we ahead by?
35.
So obviously it's not right this time.
No.
So they're going to spin one more king on us so they can win. So the answer is they're wrong.
They're wrong.
That's quite correct. They are wrong. What are or were the Hawkubites?
Mr. Cleese.
No. The Horcubites were, in fact, four small pieces of wood, which were left in an alley in the eastern part of Melton Mowbray, frighten away the voles in the early part of the late 19th century and the late part of the early 14th century. Actually, they were skinheads. Sorry.
Is that right or wrong?
No, because they weren't in a tin box.
35 points not awarded, and for 40 points, this is the last question.
They were, in fact, a bunch of skinheads who operated during the reign of Mary Tudor.
Skinheads during the reign of Mary Tudor?
No.
No. You're absolutely right, they were not. This is the end of the game. In fact, Horcubites. Horcubites were skinheads or street bronies in the reign of Queen Anne.
Yeah, there we go.
Barbara, you had the answer and you loused it up, did you?
We didn't realise you meant that was the last round. We thought you meant this is the last question that's going on. Yes.
Well, I'm afraid it was the end of Right or Wrong.
Right.
The men have 70 points. The women, the mere women, a mere 35 points. Which is pretty well as it should be. So until Right or Wrong hits the air next week, from Andre Melly, Barbara Kelly, John Cleese, John Pertwee, good night.